If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. Summertime is revival time at Worth Baptist Church. Here each Sunday we are praying and believing and expecting God to give us great revival time. The need of the hour all across America, from Washington to every state capital, to every community, to every home, and to every individual, there needs to come an awareness of the need of God. America needs God today like we've never needed Him before. There is an awareness, I believe, on the part of many Christians, many conservative groups all over America, that God is going to do something for His people. We believe these are the last days in which we live. We believe that the coming of Christ is imminent. He could come at any moment, any day, any time. In view of that, we believe that Christians ought to be living in readiness for His return. Therefore, we are designating the days of the summer throughout the months of June, July, and August as revival days here at Worth Baptist Church. A spiritual happening is happening, and we don't want it to happen without you. So we invite you to come today and share with us in the days of summer revival at Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. The Sunday school of Worth Baptist Church has but one textbook, and that is the Bible. We are teaching the Word of God to every class in our Sunday school. We have a place for every member of your family, a class for every age and every grade level, where the Bible and the Bible only is being taught. Our Sunday morning worship hour is at 11 o'clock, and our Sunday evening worship hour is at 7. These are indeed days of opportunity. These are days of challenge. These are days of revival during the summer. And I want you to share with us in these services. In the meantime, I want to call upon you, wherever you are today, to say a prayer that God would bring America to her knees and bring her back to Himself through a great and sweeping revival. If we could have a spiritual awakening in America today, we could correct many of the problems that we have facing us as a nation and as individuals. The Watergate scandal, the war in Southeast Asia, the economic problems, the energy crises, all of these things, we believe, have their solution in the Word of God. And once America comes back to God, we believe God will solve these problems and give us a great time of refreshing from above. So in your home and in your heart and in your church, I'm asking you, and I'm calling on other pastors to do the same thing, to have the people to pray for revival during the days of the summer. Be a part of these revival services if you possibly can by attending the services of Worth Baptist Church. We are located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. Worth Baptist Church is easily accessible from all parts of the city of Fort Worth and of Tarrant County by the Poly Freeway, that's Highway 287 South, and by Loop 820. So we invite you to come today, share in revival services during the days of the summer at Worth Baptist Church. We would also like to hear from you by mail. We would like for you to write us this week and simply remind us that you too are praying for revival. Write us today. Let us know that your heart is concerned about revival for America. Our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. Don't forget, pray for revival. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, How to Start a Spiritual Revolution. I shall read from the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning at verse 41. But before we read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee today for redeeming grace. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for answered prayer. We thank Thee for a time and a season of revival. It would be our prayer that Thou wouldst bring revival to every church, to every community, to every state of all this great nation and around the world. We pray today that revival fires would burn brightly and many people would come to know Christ as their own Savior during this day. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for Jesus' sake, and with thanksgiving, amen. And now the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. How to start a spiritual revolution. History records the events of many revolutions. In fact, there was a period in world history known as the Century of Revolution. Among the most well-known revolutions were the American Revolution in 1775, the French Revolution in 1789, and the Russian Revolution in 1917. All these revolutions changed the complexion of the countries in which they took place. Not only so, they had an impact on the nations around the world. I believe that what happened in the early days of Christianity could be classified as a revolution. Indeed, it was an earth-shaking, world-changing, spiritual revolution. The spiritual revolution of the first century began with a man named Jesus of Nazareth. He was no ordinary man. He was the Son of God. He gathered about him 12 men. After about 3.5 years of ministry upon the earth, an angry mob came one day and arrested Jesus. They led him away to a mock trial and to Calvary's summit, where the Bible says they crucified him. But on the morning of the third day, a strange event took place. Jesus Christ was raised from among the dead. 40 days later, he ascended back to the Father on high. 10 days after his ascension, the Holy Spirit came, and then the revolution was on. The city of Jerusalem was aflame with the power of God. This power spread to Rome, and then to Athens, and across Europe, and across Asia, and finally, of course, came to North America. Many attempts were made to squelch that revolution, but the more they persecuted the Christians, the more the church grew. They tried to stamp out the fire of God in Jerusalem, but they scattered the embers all over the world. With the passing of time, the revolution cooled off. It lost some of its punch. The reason, I believe, is threefold. 1, materialism. 2, intellectualism. And 3, liberalism. 20 centuries have now passed. Time has taken its toll. There have been many changes in the structure of the Christian faith. But, beloved, the church still lives, and Christianity still operates. Here's a tragic note. The church today is characterized by apathy and apostasy, by sin and sensuality, by weakness and by worldliness. Liberalism has also taken its toll. We have read with interest in the papers recently. In several larger denominations, the conservative element is demanding to be heard. And we believe that conservatives all over America and around the world are going to unite in a united front to preach the old-time gospel to men as they are, because the old-fashioned way, the old-time gospel, quote, the old-time religion, is the only thing that will do when we are dying. There's nothing wrong with Christianity today except Christians. There's nothing wrong with the church except church members. We do not need another Savior. We have Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the all-sufficient, all-powerful Savior. Paul says in Hebrews 13:8, He's the same yesterday and today and forever. We do not need another system of religion. Christianity is Christ in action. We do not need another textbook. The Bible is the unchanging, infallible, eternal Word of God. We do not need another God. We are serving the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And as Moses said, the eternal God is thy refuge. We do not need another church. We are in the church of the living God that shall never lose its influence in the world. We do not need another message. The old story of redeeming grace has been operating for 2,000 years. There's no reason why in the 20th century, in 1973, that we should attempt to update the message. The same message that was preached by the apostles ought to be preached today. The message of redeeming grace, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the gospel of the Son of God. We do not need another hope. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Beloved, we do not need the change that some liberals are advocating today. Rather, we need a return to the ancient path. We need a return to the Bible, a return to the old-fashioned way of serving God and preaching the gospel in this modern age. What we really need is the breath of God upon our souls. A man came to Mr. Moody one time and said to him, "Mr. Moody, I've driven 100 miles to get some of your spirit." Mr. Moody said, "You don't want my spirit, mister. What you need is the Spirit of God." And beloved, I'm saying to you today, what we need is the breath of God upon us in 1973. The poet put it this way, "O breath of God, come sweeping through us. Revive thy church with life and power. O breath of life, come, cleanse, renew us, and fit thy church to meet this hour. O wind of God, come bend us, break us, till humbly we confess our need. Then in thy tenderness remake us. Revive, restore, for this we plead. O breath of love, come breathe within us, renewing thought and will and heart. Come, love of Christ, afresh to win us. Revive thy church in every part. O heart of Christ, once broken for us, 'tis there we find our strength and rest. Our broken, contrite hearts now solace, and let thy waiting church be blessed. Revive us, Lord. Is zeal abating while harvest fields are vast and white? Revive us, Lord. The world is waiting. Equip thy church to spread the light. This is what we need in 1973, in these days of the summer. We need a spiritual revolution. We need the breath of God fresh upon us. In order to have a spiritual revolution, I believe three things are essential. If we're going to start a spiritual revolution, number one, we must get changed. When we are changed, we are rightly related to God. The greatest change that ever came in a person's life is the new birth. Such a change shows up in every area of one's life, in his conversation, in his conduct, and in his creed. Paul put it this way, "If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." An old man, the ruffian of his community, was saved. He was such a notorious sinner that when he was converted, it stirred the whole neighborhood. A few months later, He stood to his feet in a testimony meeting to testify, and this is what he said, and I quote, "I know I ain't what I ought to be, and I ain't what I'm going to be, but praise God, I ain't what I used to be." Beloved, if you've been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, if you've been born again, you are not what you used to be. Many people have had a change of some kind, but so many of them have never had a change in their heart. They've joined the church, been baptized, taken of communion, and all of these things, but they've never experienced anything in their hearts. Beloved, many Christians need to get changed today. There needs to be a change in the priorities in our lives. What is first in your life? There must be something or someone first. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." There must be a change in your pattern of living. Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ." There must be a change in the performance of your Christian duties. Do you really love Christ? Do you really love lost souls? Do you truly love the church? If so, there should be a change in your pattern of life. Beloved, the time has come when a line must be drawn, and there must be on one side true believers, on the other side those who are merely making a profession of faith. This is the hour of opportunity. This is the golden moment for America. We must have a spiritual revolution if we are going to survive and if we are going to be spared the judgment hand of God. Yes, we must get changed. Secondly, if we are going to have a spiritual revolution, we must get together. Once we are together, we are rightly related to each other. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came to empower the church, the Bible says they were all with one accord in one place. What we need today is unity among God's people. We need to be together, one purpose, one aim, one desire, and that to serve God and to evangelize this city and to win men and women to Christ. This should be the desire, the aim, the purpose of every Bible-believing person and every true church in this community, to join together in a concerted effort to win the lost in evangelizing the city of Fort Worth. We must get together. Then in the third place, if we're going to have spiritual revolution, we must get going. And once we get going, we'll be rightly related to the world. We are in debt to the world. We owe it to the world to tell them about Christ. I say to you today that we must get going because God put us in the going business. We must get going because souls are dying and going to hell. We must get going because the night is coming when no man can work. We must get going because the day of grace will soon be over. We must get going because the door of opportunity will soon be closed. If you have loved ones and neighbors and friends who are lost, you best get going today to win them to Christ, because soon Christ is coming and the day of grace will be over. I have a footnote, and then I'm through. If we are going to have spiritual revolution, we must get charged. I mean by that we must have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We must yield ourselves to God. We must empty ourselves of sin and lust and selfishness and allow the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts and into our lives and take complete charge of our living. This is an essential if we are going to have a spiritual revolution in 1973. Again, may I say to you that the summertime is revival time at Worth Baptist Church. We are praying for a great outpouring, a great manifestation of the power of God. And we are not selfish in this. We are asking God to give revival to every church in our city. We are asking God to send revival to the whole nation. We are asking God to raise up men and women all over the world who will put Christ first in their lives and who will be willing to sacrifice whatever is necessary to bring revival to America and to the world once again. I believe you'd like to be a part of this. Let me invite you again to come today to Worth Baptist Church. Study the Word of God in Sunday School Revival at 10 o'clock. Worship God in Sunday Morning Revival Worship Hour at 11. Again, worship God in the Sunday Evening Revival Worship Hour at 7 o'clock. Why don't you just invite a neighbor, a friend to come with you today and share the blessings of God of revival time during the days of the summer at Worth Baptist Church. I believe you'll discover here a spiritual and a friendly atmosphere in which to worship God. And I believe it will be a blessing to your heart and to your life for you to come today and share with us the good things of the Lord. And may I remind you once again that we would like to hear from you this week by mail. We would like for you to let us know that you too are praying for revival. So until next Lord's Day, at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your home, and upon your family. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.